Hi, I'm Lucas James.
And I'm Jordan Ross.
And we're the co-hosts of How to Scale an Agency. After scaling our own agencies to over $185,000 per month in sales and working with agencies doing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue like Hawk Media and Neil Patel, we've made this show to interview the top digital marketing agency owners and highlight the fastest ways to scale your agency. If you'd like to join the best digital marketing agency community on the planet and let us help you scale, go to twiz.io to sign up today. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of How to Scale an Agency. I'm on with Chris Martinez. He is the founder of Dude Agency, which helps agencies fix their operations, work smarter, earn more, and achieve an eight-figure exit, which I think everybody wants who's listening to this podcast. So thank you, Chris, for being on the show. Really excited to pull back the curtain here, as we talked about, and dive into some of these agencies and see how businesses can achieve these KPIs and this growth. So thank you for being on.
Yeah, awesome, man. I thought we were going to be talking about race and politics and religion. Happy to switch gears. It's totally up to you.
That's another show. That's another show. Well, thank you for being on. I'll start simple, right? I know it's not a simple answer, but simple question. How can somebody achieve an eight-figure exit as an agency? What is the number one way someone can achieve this?
Have $2 million in EBITDA. Yeah. If you can have that, you're going to pretty much have an eight-figure exit. Right. You'll have a lot of buyers.
Right.
You know, the biggest thing that agencies are missing out on is their numbers, like understanding their numbers and what it's going to take to achieve that. And I understand if right now you're not even thinking about an exit, right? And I would actually applaud you if you're not thinking about that right now. I think that's the best way to do it. The best time to sell a business is when you don't have to sell the business.
Yeah.
Meaning that like the numbers are great, you're making awesome money, you've got people that are running the company and you don't really have to be there that often. That's when they're going to have to give you a stupid offer to buy your company, right? Because why would you sell, you know?
Right.
But here's the thing that I've learned, because I'm 44 years old now and I've been playing soccer for almost 40 years. I started when I was 5 years old. All the guys that I've known that have gone on to play professionally have retired. And when you typically hear from people that have, you know, made it to that highest level and have, you know, basically living a dream that I was never good enough to get to, is eventually you wake up one day and you don't want to wear shorts to work anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen with your agency. Yes. Is one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be like, I don't really want to do this anymore. Maybe it's the stage in life, or you've just been grinding for so long, or you're looking at the road ahead and you're like, to get to that next level, I don't want to do it, you know?
Yep.
And so since you know that that's going to happen, why don't we plan so that when that day does happen, and it could be a month from now, it could be 15 years from now, but we build the business so that if we do want to leave, we are in the greatest position to get an exit and get paid what we want to get paid for it.
Yeah. So let's make this tangible, right? So you've worked with a couple different businesses, a lot of
we worked with a lot of agencies.
And
we see their numbers. We see their numbers too. Yes. So
yes, I was going to say, I know probably you can't say who specifically, but if you could maybe comment on a couple different personas or case studies that you've experienced, like give me a little bit behind the scenes. The company comes to you, they're doing this, they're doing that. They want to grow. Yeah. This is what happens. Like,
clear the air. The elephant in the room, at least for me, is that there's so many people that are bragging about having a seven-figure agency. And you have coaches that even talk about, I'm going to help you build a seven-figure agency, right?
Yeah.
They're typically talking about the revenue. Mm-hmm. And when they come to me, I know that on paper or from a revenue standpoint, they're doing seven figures. The overwhelming majority of the clients that we work with are at that seven-figure mark. But unfortunately, the overwhelming percentage of those folks are not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
Revenue is not the end goal. It's profit. Right? Yes. It's profit. And so I think part of the problem is that we are kind of, I don't know if the word brainwashed or conditioned is more appropriate, but you hear in the media of all these companies, like, you know, tech companies basically that are, you know, doing billions and billions of dollars in revenue and yet they're still not profitable. And so maybe we start to internalize and then be like, well, I can worry about profit later.
Yeah.
Unless you have incredibly deep pockets or mommy and daddy gave you a trust fund and you don't have to worry about profit now, the overwhelming majority of you guys out there do need to focus on being a profitable company.
Yes.
To me, profit is like guns. It's better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. Right.
Right.
When you have more profit, then you're able to reinvest back into the company. You can hire more people and pay them salaries, right, that are going to be great mm-hmm. salaries where they're going to help you get to that next level. But if you don't have any money, like if you don't have any profit, your options are very, very limited. There's only, you know, a certain amount of things that you can do to solve these problems.
Right.
So, right. You know, the biggest issue that I see is that companies are focusing too much on revenue and not profitability. And the reality mm-hmm. is that if you are not making money now, let's say you're doing $500,000 a year or $20,000 a year or whatever, and each client that you're bringing in is $2,500 a month, mm-hmm. but it's costing you $2,600 a month to get those clients fulfilled. Yeah. If you ramp up sales and marketing and you bring in a lot more clients, all you are doing is accelerating how quickly you're going into the hole.
Yeah.
So you do need to figure out how to solve those problems before you really put your foot on the gas. Now, if you can get results for those clients and you're spending $2,600 a month to fulfill, so you're actually losing a little bit of money, but the clients are happy, right? Like that's a little bit easier problem to solve. If you're spending $2,600 a month on a $2,500 a month client and the clients are still not getting results and they're not happy, then that's a little bit harder, but it is solvable.
I totally agree with you about the profit thing. It's incredibly important. And I do see so many online people who are talking about their revenue growth, and it is not a true indicator about the health of the business. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, because I know a lot of people who are listening to this are also thinking of selling. There's a lot of M&A happening in mm-hmm. the market right now. What would you say if you are trying to sell and a lot of your profit goes to you as the owner because you're paying yourself well and you're mm-hmm. also trying to grow the business? Like, what would you say the owner comp should be relative to top line revenue? Like if you were to help someone out, should it be 15%, 30%? And I'm including W-2 and like overall comp, not just, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a general rule, and I'm not an accountant or a CPA, so you're definitely going to have to talk to the appropriate person about this, and like my little disclaimer. There's a general rule that I've created that I teach people and that we aspire to create for our clients. It's called 30-30-20-20. So I want 30% of the revenue to go toward your cost of goods, meaning that's mm-hmm. what you spend to fulfill. I like 30% of the revenue to go towards your net, right? I like 20% of the revenue to go to your compensation, so you as the owner. And I like 20% of the revenue to go towards the operating expenses. So that includes your leadership team, sales and marketing, office rent, all those things. So technically I like, if you're a solo owner, I like 50% of the revenue going back to you. That's the goal. Now those numbers can change from time to time. So if you're running a, you know, $50 million a year company, probably, you know, it's not going to be 30, 30, 20, 20.
Yeah.
But if you're under $5 million a year in revenue, 30, 30, 20, 20 is pretty realistic.
So walking through one more time, it's, you said 15% or would you say
30? Yeah, 30% cost of goods, 30% net income, 20% goes your compensation. So that's salary.
Yeah.
20% operating expenses. So 50% ultimately goes back to you if you're the sole owner of the company.
Got it. That's really interesting. That's good to know. And so you're seeing that. Is that also true when, let's say, you're a company doing over $1 million a year in revenue and mm-hmm. want to grow 30% a year, what would the target be there? Is it still the same, like you said, 50%? Would you recommend that people drop that if they're trying to grow 30% or more a year? Or do you think it's still possible to do both?
Is your question basically like, if we're really aggressive, if we're aggressively investing in growth, mm-hmm. do I compromise on my salary and or my compensation and the profitability? Yep. Okay. Yep. You can do that. Like, this is the other thing, is there's no one way to do any of this, you know, like whatever you're more comfortable doing. Me personally, I know, like, there's some people that say like burn the boats, right? And they're typically trying to sell you a course. So they're like, burn the boats. Like, you invest all your money in this, and then on the other side, you'll be a billionaire. Right.
Right.
That doesn't work for me personally. Like, I need to have compensation. I need to basically have what makes me feel comfortable. So I'm not operating in survival mode, because if I'm personally operating in survival mode, I'm typically making dumb decisions. I just know that about myself historically. If I'm trying to, I can think of many, many examples actually. one of those examples would be trying to place bets on soccer games to get my way out of debt, which did not work. But that would be a perfect example of stupid decisions that I made in the past when I was in survival mode. So right. Me personally, I would more opt for slower growth, and I'm a big advocate of that in general.
Yep.
Slower growth, sustainable growth, and making sure that I'm being compensated appropriately.
Interesting.
But if you want to go the other way and you're like, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice on profit or my own compensation to, you know, fuel growth, then that's okay. But typically, if you can stay within the 30-30-20-20, you're not really having to compromise that much.
Yeah. Right? No, that's so true. That's so true. And I think that's the beauty of having an agency, is they're extremely profitable. Do you ever think that the current way marketing agencies operate will still be relevant in 10 years? Like, what will change? What will a marketing agency look like in 10 years in your mind with everything that's happening with AI?
Yeah.
What do you think could happen?
This is such a good question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me this before. So I'm going to ask you a different question, and then we'll basically come to the same conclusion. So I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the guy was like, everybody asks, like, what's the market going to look like in 10 years? But let's ask a different question. He actually asked a different question. It's like, what is going to be the same in 10 years? Mm. So from a marketing standpoint, are people still going to need more leads and more leads, right? Are they going to need more leads? They're going to need more appointments. Yes. That is absolutely still going to be the same in 10 years. Would you agree?
Yep. Yes, 100%.
Are operators, are people that run small businesses, are they still going to struggle with technology? Is that still going to happen in 10 years?
Yes.
I would say yes. Right? I would argue yes. Is it still going to be difficult to attract and retain marketing people in 10 years?
Yes.
I would say yes. Right? So if we look at it from that standpoint, marketing agencies are probably going to still be the same.
Yeah.
Now, what I would argue is that we are going through, and I'm not hyping up AI, and I'm not like I'm not selling an AI course or anything like that.
Right.
I do believe that AI is going to fundamentally change the way that we do business, and it's definitely going to level the playing field. You know, like, I have a friend of mine who sold his ad agency last year for many, many millions of dollars, and he sold it to a startup, an AI technology that runs ads. And so basically what he told me is that he had, I don't know, 100 something employees, and I can't even tell you how many millions of dollars in ad spend that they were managing. He said, this technology will replace 100% of my employees. So this technology would replace 100 people. So he was like, they're going to kill me off, or I can sell it to them now and walk away with a really, really nice paycheck. And so that's what he did. So that's in the ad side. That will happen with every single deliverable that we do.
Yeah.
But even when that does happen, we still have the constants that are going to be happening, that'll be there in 10 years. People are still going to need leads. They're still going to struggle with getting the people. They're still going to struggle with the technology.
Yep.
That absolutely will take place.
Yeah.
So what the marketing agencies need to do now, and that we help them with too, is like, where is the puck going? You know, like, so what is the business going to look like? One of the things that I preach is that the gap between sales and marketing is closing. So the biggest complaints that marketing agencies get from clients is that the leads suck, right? Like, you hear this all the time. The leads suck. Well, what's the reality? I mean, we're marketing people here. We know. They suck at calling the people back.
Yeah.
Or answering the phone, right? They suck at responding to the leads that we're generating. It's like, the leads suck. Well, it took you 3 hours to reply, and you're an emergency plumber. You know, like, that's why the leads suck, is because they've already fixed their problem. So what I see as one of the things is that part of the marketing agency's responsibility is going to now be helping to solve that sales problem, like that follow-up problem. So you look at like a software like Go High Level, which is an amazing piece of software.
Yeah.
One of the things that they started out with was the text message follow-ups automatically when somebody books a call. You could schedule automations where it's sending them a text saying, hey, just want to make sure that you're good to go. You have any questions? You need to talk to somebody. And then a constant follow-up to try and get that person to show up for the call.
Yep.
I don't know what their stats are, but they would say, you know, like, we help increase the show rate for by like 9x or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's something that they would say. And that's true. What else? What else can we do to facilitate them getting to the sales goal? The clients would love it if you would generate the lead, you would qualify the lead, you would pitch the lead, and then all they have to do is, you know, send them the form to put in their credit card. That's what the clients need, are looking for.
Right.
It will be fairly possible to do that. Like, we will be able to control a lot more of that marketing process and the sales process with technology. Yes. In the next 10 years, I guarantee you, we will be able to do that.
Well, I think true. And I think that a lot of those gains will go, I think, because I'm actually building a software right now for a lot of these sales functions. And one thing that I've been noticing is that there is a shift happening with volume, changing that approach to more like personalization. Because, you know, with email outreach, right? Gmail, Yahoo, sending requirements, more and more of that's going to spam. Also, the FCC just announced that it's illegal to have any AI telemarketers. This is like fact. This is a law now. So you can't even have AI telemarketers. That whole thing that people were trying to do is like bust. Like, if you remember, there was a company called Air that's still around that was trying to do this. You probably got
one. Oh, yeah. I saw all their ads.
Yeah. That's, I'm pretty confident that is illegal now. I'm not entirely sure, but the FCC was very clear that this is not legal to have like AI telemarketers, which is very different than violating terms of service, you know? So my point with all this is saying that it's interesting. I feel like you are correct, but I feel like a lot of that's going to be like, okay, I'm somebody who is interested in buying a service. And instead of interacting with a person, I'm just going to have a perfect AI agent that's going to essentially answer all my questions. So I don't need to be followed up with like 30 times. One, because I can't be, because all these restrictions are being put into place. And two, because I already got all my questions answered. So I'm just going to kind of buy now, because most of it is answered. I just need somebody to help me kind of maybe massage it a little bit, get a little across the line in terms of buying. And I also think that I had an interesting discussion with somebody who is also building an AI software. And what they were saying was that for agencies, what they were saying is that which I agree with, is that there's a really big question about control, which is, I do think that the AI technology will advance more and more, but it will sort of slow down, I think, once we decide what level we're comfortable with giving away, right? So if we say, hey, we don't want to give up more control, kind of like with the AI telemarketers thing, then it won't go past that, like unless the law changes. So we're kind of coming up to this point where it's like, it'll be interesting to see which things we give up control on. And because we're already drawing that line, it does seem like certain tasks will still be done by a marketing agency. Because like, if you can't have AI telemarketers, well, then who's going to call? It's got to still be humans, you know? And if you can't do as many follow-ups, you'll probably have an AI agent, right? But like, you're still going to need some kind of personalization. And once the AI agent gets good enough, then you probably won't need that salesperson doing the follow-ups, right? But like, it's kind of, it's interesting.
I don't think that the regulations will slow this down. I think that there will always be a way. There will be a company, like, let's say, you know, like Dubai, you know, like Dubai allows you to do it. So everybody will set up their company in Dubai, and then you'll be allowed to do all the AI stuff and basically have a complete replica of yourself, but your servers are going to be based in Dubai or something like that. There's going to be, this is coming no matter what. It's like trying to stop the internet. You know, like, I don't know if you were alive or you were using the internet back in the early 90s when we had dial-up and the AOL, you know, CDs would come in the mail every time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, imagine trying to stop the internet in 1994.
Well, it's kind of like Napster, right? I mean, like, with that, it was illegal. Actually, PayPal was illegal. It was violating bank laws when it first came out. It was actually illegal. Wasn't even like a terms of service thing. It was legitimately illegal, and they were able to get around it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see like where they draw the line. Will it stay illegal? Will it not? Will people still do it, but the US government like puts you in jail for violating it in mass? We'll see, right? Because a lot of the stuff before I felt was kind of like terms of service questions, which is not illegal, like at least from what I've consulted. Like if you violate Facebook's terms of service, you're not going to go to jail, right? Mm. But if you commit a crime, then you could go to jail, right? But typically the terms of service is not a crime. So it's kind of, we're moving into like a new era of this, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how it all pans out. Now, I am curious for people who might want to work with you, what kind of agencies do you typically work with? Like, are most of the things you're helping with are when they get over a certain threshold? When does it make sense to start focusing so much on profit? Like all these things.
Yeah, that's a good question. So most of the agencies that we work with are around the $1 million a year revenue mark. I would say between $1 million to $3 million a year in revenue.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, I don't want to say it's our sweet spot, but that's where they typically have the symptoms where they're feeling stuck, right? Like, so like if revenue has been stuck at the same level and, you know, you can't seem to get past the 70 client mark or whatever that is, if you recognize that there are challenges with your SOPs, that you don't know how to hold people accountable, that we're having higher than normal churn, or there's a lot of inconsistencies in the business, you know, like these are the typical symptoms. I feel like we should have like an infomercial here for like medical, like a pill. Like, is your churn soft? That'd be a good question. Is your profit not rising every month? And then we could have in the terms and conditions, we'd be like, for profit exceeding 200% every single month, please call a doctor.
You got to do this ad, man. This sounds great.
Anyways, so these are kind of like the symptoms that people have when they come to us. And ultimately, the biggest thing is like, I am just tired of not hitting my goals, right? And I know that there's a problem, but I can't figure out what it is. That's when people come to us.
Yep.
A lot of them aren't even thinking about an exit in the next couple of years, but it is a thought in their mind. And so that's when they come to us, and we basically, the first thing that we do is called a business analysis. Well, technically it's called our Profit Accelerator Business Analysis. So they jump on a quick call with us, 20 minutes. We basically do a quick diagnosis of what's going on and tell them if we can help them solve their problems. Then if they like that, they'll do a profit analysis with us. It goes from anywhere from $300 to $1,500 depending on your revenue. And in that profit analysis, you basically get two live calls with us. The first one is where you we'll dive into your infrastructure. We'll build out your org chart, go through all the leadership team responsibilities, KPIs, all that stuff. Let you know what gaps we see. And then on the second call, we build out what's called a proforma, which is a 3-year projection. We tell you, hey, if you continue down this path, this is what the business will look like at the end of year 1, 2, 3. But if you make these small little changes, you know, like 1% change here per month and maybe 0.5% change here per month, this is what the business can look like at the end of year 1, 2, and 3. And so that's the initial, you know, like thing that we work with them on. And then if they want us to help them solve the problem for the long term, we basically talk about what it is that they need and terms and price, of course, and then away we go.
I love that.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to work with you, where should they go? How can they find out more about you? Yeah, where's the best location for that?
Go to dudeagency.io and you can read up about us and also book that first initial call if you want. We have a podcast as well called Operation Agency Freedom. We've been having problems with iTunes, so I would recommend going to Spotify for some reason. I don't know why they blocked me. Something happened and I cannot get into my iTunes to update it. But you can listen to it on the website as well, or you can go to Spotify. Wow. And I got to get you on my podcast too.
Yes. Yes. Well, amazing. Incredible. Thank you, Chris, for being on the show. For anybody who wants to work with Chris and amplify their profit and work on growing their business for an 8-figure exit, you can go to his website and sign up today and join and listen to his podcast and maybe be on his podcast. So thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it. Until next time, everybody, another episode of How to Scale an Agency.